the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Charlie Weston, personal finance editor with the Irish Independent, is with us. Charlie, we've been hearing a lot for months now about Simon Harris's savings scheme. And I'm still none the wiser as to what's actually going to be in it and how it's actually going to work. And then I'm reading stuff that influencers have been brought into the Department of Finance to get a, give a presentation. And they're coming out and they're putting stuff up on social media. Oh, this is going to be great. What's going to be great? I don't know. You and I are experienced business journalists who've been covering stuff like this for decades. Did you get an invite in as an influencer?
No, I'm not considered an influencer. I'm an old school journalist, an old school hack.
Who might ask questions as to how this damn thing is going to operate and if there are going to be tax benefits, how they can be justified and how much money is going to be saved. And if it's saved, we don't have a problem with savings in this country. We have plenty of savings. We need to be moving savings into investments. Is that what this is going to do?
We don't know. We don't have the detail, Matt. That's the thing. You're absolutely right here. Yeah, this has been announced repeatedly by Simon Harris. He's obviously latched onto this, sees this as good politics, that his core vote, the middle-income people, will love this and it's going to be a great idea. I'll keep announcing it. Sure, they have these things in England, they have them in Canada, they have them in Sweden and they work very well.
But they're all different. That's the point. But we don't know which one we're going to get.
I suppose the common thread here is there's essentially a tax break. You get to invest a certain amount at a very low tax rate. The issue at the moment is, and really to be better served with dealing with this, is if you put money into investments or into shares or something called exchange traded funds, which are very popular in America, popular in a lot of countries. We house a lot of them in this country, but they're not sold here because not sold very much here because the tax is very, very onerous. It's punitive.
And don't we also have a thing, certain investments, you have a thing called deemed disposals after 8 years, that even if you haven't sold the investment, you have to pay a tax on it as if you have.
Which prompts many people to go then having to sell it,
even though it might not be the right time to do it or may not want to do it.
No, yeah, it's crazy stuff. I mean, exchange traded funds, there are pooled investments. You know, you have a group of different, a portfolio of investments in it. It's a great way to spread the risk. They're good investments. They tend to perform quite well. But you're absolutely right, Matt. You know, there's this thing called deemed disposal, complicated tax measure, which means that after every 8 years, if you have any gain, you have to calculate if you have any gain in this fund. And if you do, you pay 38% tax on that gain, whether you sell it or not. And then when you do sell it, there's an exit tax. So the idea here is, you know, we have a very low level of shares. Retail capital market investments in this country are low. The European Union is encouraging countries to come up with schemes to encourage people to invest into stock markets because the Americans are great at doing this. We're not great at raising finance, equity finance in this part of the world, in Europe. So the idea is that we come up with something like that, like this, to encourage investment in shares and also to give people a better alternative than dead money going into deposits. Large amounts of that money earns little or nothing in deposits. We have 170 billion, according to yesterday's figures from the central bank, in deposit accounts. A lot of that is current accounts as well. That's up 10 billion in the last year. So people are kind of reluctant to go.
Where's all this money coming from?
Well, a lot of it's pensioners as well. A lot of it is the very people who won't want to move money into an investment scheme because you will need to leave money in an investment scheme for at least 7, 8 years, 5 years minimum. If you're going to make any money out of it, it's no good. You're not going to do it for a year or two. So, there's an awful lot of savings. It's precautionary as well, Matt. We're still scarred from the old banking collapse. People are reluctant to put money into investments because they might have lost money on Aircom shares or
bank shares, or property investments,
any of the big banks. And that's still there in the core, in the memory, in the consumer memory, if you like.
Okay, listeners, it's a great scheme for the better off who could afford to put a few euro away while the rest of us live week to week. Well, two things on that. We don't know if it's a great scheme. We actually do not know if it's a great scheme.
I think it's a fair point, Matt, that the idea here is probably going to benefit people who have spare money. And that person is absolutely right. And this point.
Well, I'd be more interested in how the money is put to productive use, but go on anyway.
Yeah, well, okay, you know, if it was put to productive use, that would be good in terms of green technologies, you know, money going into startups, but it would need to be spread out a lot.
Housing funds,
etc. But, you know, this point is about this is going to get the wealthy people are going to be the big gainers here. And it may end up with a situation where people move money out of other investments in this country. You know, they might have an investment with Aviva or something, moving into one of these schemes because it's tax advantageous. But Rowan Tree, he's an economist in Trinity, he's made this point that the big gainers here are going to be wealthy people, essentially, people who can take a bit of risk. And he says, essentially, it'll see money moving around from different investments into these kind of accounts.
Okay. The second part of that comment from listener, where the rest of us live week to week, is very relevant because we've seen so many people in arrears on electricity and gas bills. I think you were writing today as well in the Irish Independent about, is it one of four or one of five people can't even think of taking a holiday this year because they can't afford to?
Yeah. We have very distinct group stratas here. We have a people who are struggling, yeah, and the one in four, that was the credit union consumers' sentiment, one in four people can't afford to take a holiday. You've got people in the middle who are just about coping. They're called coping, according to Austin News, The Economist. And then you have a very comfortable group at the top who are probably the ones who will take to this investment scheme, this savings and investment scheme, because they have the spare cash. You know, they're the ones who can afford to do the house renovations, do the energy efficiency measures in their house. And they will have the spare money and they will gain here. Is this the best way to spend money, you know?
Now, I don't want to be arguing with you, Charlie, but I mean, you're also talking about making the excise duty cuts, which have been phased out. You don't believe they should be phased out, they should be made permanent. But doesn't this come to the argument that we should be targeting measures to those who need them? That there are plenty of people with their bulging bank accounts who can afford to pay the full amount of excise duty on their fuel. And then there's loads of people who have no money, who are living week to week, paycheck to paycheck, who may be in significant debt, that they're the ones who need the lower excise fuel. You have to find ways to balance it out.
You do, of course. But I mean, I think the point I'm making is we have extremely high taxes and duties when you add them all up on fuel in this country, petrol and diesel. Look at the different duties and taxes. Excise duty, carbon tax, then there's VAT at 23%, one of the highest. There's the NORA levy, which funds the National Oil Reserve. There's the Better Energy Levy linked to the energy efficiency schemes. And then you have the Renewable Transport Fuel Obligation required, which means that, you know, refineries have to put biofuels blended into your petrol and diesel. So, you know, you have six different levies and charges on petrol and diesel in this country. It's extremely high by international standards. And the government now is talking about gradually phasing back in those excise duty cuts of 30 cents on a litre of diesel and 27 cents on petrol. They're talking about the first increase in September, you know, and we'll go back to having the third most expensive diesel in Europe and the fifth most expensive petrol. You know, I just think there's just, you know, so many people who don't have the option that we have of taking a dart or a train because we live in an urban area. People are very dependent on their cars. And I think their heavy fuel taxes, they've had a disproportionate impact on everyday motoring in this country for a lot of people who don't have options other than cars. You know, and I was talking to my brother who lives down the west of Ireland the other day, and, you know, he's having to drive them around a lot. The provincial buses are rubbish, Matt. You know, okay, they have improved, but they're not great. So, you know, I just don't think it's appropriate to have so many levies and taxes on our fuel.
And we're going to have more people living in rural Ireland as a result of the new planning regulation changes that James Brown, the Minister for Housing, told us about on this programme yesterday. Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. Charlie Weston, Personal Finance Editor of the Irish Independent. Thank you.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.